John chapter 6, verse 52 to 59. And I've entitled the message, The Hard Sayings of Jesus. The Hard Sayings of Jesus. John 6, 52 to 59. Let us hear God's word. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. This is God's word. Let's once again pray. Oh, our God and our Father, as we come now to study your word, as we come to examine the hard sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, that, Lord, we would hear you speak. And even though tonight many of us are believers, as we hear the gospel of grace once again, may we rejoice in it. May we glorify in our wonderful Saviour who bids us to come to him. Lord, please help me to preach your word tonight. May I be faithful to proclaim your word, and may your name be exalted. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this evening we are once again in John chapter 6, and indeed we have been in this chapter now for quite a number of weeks. But we are now coming very close to the end of John 6, and this evening what I want us to do is to focus on the final words of Jesus and focus in on the ending of his sermon that he has been preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, next time we come to John chapter 6, the plan will be to see how the people responded to the sermon of Christ. So we're looking tonight at the ending, the conclusion of Jesus' sermon, but next time we will see how the people respond. Now, last week when we were beginning this sermon of Christ, when we were unpacking what Christ was saying about himself, we saw that Jesus made some statements that well and truly riled up the Jews. The claims that Christ made about himself had angered the Jews, and they objected to the fact that Jesus declared that he is the bread of life and that without him they don't have life. Now for the Jews, these were very hard sayings. These men and women who made up this great crowd, this great multitude, they knew their scripture, they knew the Old Testament, but they weren't true followers of God. They didn't know the Messiah. They didn't know the Christ. So when they came to the hard sayings of Jesus, they didn't know what to do with them. They struggled with his words. See, Jesus told this crowd that they need him, that they must come to him, and they must eat of him. Now, that is a confronting statement, and if we were to step back and view the entire sermon of Jesus as a whole, we would see that Christ, throughout this message, from start to finish, has constantly made startling claims about himself. Christ has made some grand claims about who he is and what his purpose is. So we can kind of understand why the Jews were shocked. I mean, we can sit back with the ability of history and the completion of Scripture and say we get what Jesus was talking about. But put yourself in their shoes. Imagine you're there in the synagogue, crowded around with all these other people, listening to Jesus, the one who has just fed the multitude, and he says to everyone, you need to eat of me. I think the majority of us would sit back and say, that would be a hard saying to understand. that would be challenging to us. But we don't have to put ourselves in the shoes or the sandals of these Jews to understand the hard sayings of Christ. Because if we open up our Bibles and if we study the Scripture, if we read cover to cover in the Word of God, you will come across hard sayings. You will come across statements in the Word of God that cause us to pause and even to question. But when we do come across the hard sayings, when we do come across the statements that we may not understand, our correct response should not be one of anger. It should not be one of quarreling. It should not be one of doubting, just like these Jews. Rather, when we come across the hard sayings in the Scripture, our response should be to simply say, I'm going to believe it by faith. I'm going to take what God says. You see, God cannot lie, so we must believe his words. And even though there are times when we may not fully understand what is written, we must accept what is written as the very word of God. In the last century, in the 20th century, probably the most famous evangelical would have been Billy Graham. Now, if you look at the ministry of Billy Graham, most of us are familiar with his crusades and what he did, where thousands of people would pack a stadium to hear him preach. That's what most people think of when they consider Billy Graham. But what isn't known is that at the start of his ministry, he went through a crisis of faith over the hard sayings in the Scripture. In fact, at the time Billy Graham was beginning his ministry, a good friend of his, who was actually a better preacher than Billy Graham, began to doubt the Word of God. He said he couldn't understand it, so the Scripture clearly wasn't true, and that man soon became an atheist, and unfortunately he died as an atheist. And Billy Graham's friend said to him, Graham, you need to give up the Bible. You need to give it all up. Why waste your life preaching the Word? And Billy said he respected his friend. And indeed, there were things in the Scripture he couldn't understand. There were hard sayings in the Bible that he couldn't completely comprehend. And he wrestled with it. But Billy Graham said one evening when he was in the mountains of California, he went for a walk with his Bible. And as he walked, he prayed and he wrestled with God over the hard sayings of Scripture. And he said he came to a clearing, and there in the clearing, there was an old tree stump. So Billy Graham put his Bible on the stump and he knelt down to pray. And Graham said, he prayed, Lord, I don't fully understand everything in this book, but I believe it's your word. I believe it by faith, and I will preach it as truth. Billy Graham said he stood up a different man, and he never doubted the Scripture again. You see, that's the kind of attitude we should have when it comes to the hard sayings of Scripture. When we come across statements that we don't fully comprehend, when we come across scenarios that are beyond our grasp, we need to sit back and conclude that perhaps God is smarter than us, and we might not understand, but he does. So we are to accept his word by faith. Now don't for a moment think that if you are struggling to understand the Scripture that that somehow makes you a Christian who is weak in the faith. Don't think that at all, because if you look at the Apostle Peter, he himself admitted that there are hard sayings in the Bible, and there were things that he struggled with. For instance, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, that he found some of the Apostle Paul's writings difficult to understand. He said they're the Word of God, they are Scripture, but even he, as an apostle, struggled to understand some of what Paul had written. And you will come across hard sayings like these Jews did. They are confronted with hard sayings. But when we are confronted with the difficult passages of Scripture, we must accept them by faith. We need to accept that God is smarter than we are, and just because we don't understand it does not mean it's true. You see, I, for instance, cannot explain all the ins and outs of how electricity works. I have a working understanding, I have a basic understanding, but I couldn't explain all the finer details. But what I know is this, if I turn that power switch on, there's going to be power, the lights will come on. Likewise, when I come to the Word of God and I come to passages I don't fully understand, all I have to do is accept it by faith, turn the switch on, knowing that there will be power. because it is the very word of God. So the Jews are confronted with the hard sayings of Christ, but they don't respond in a good way. They are confronted with the difficult passages, and if you look in verse 52, you see how they responded. Christ says, I am the bread which has come down from heaven. You must eat of me if you want life. The Jews hear that, and we're told that they quarreled amongst themselves. That is, they fought amongst themselves. They began to have an argument. And indeed, if you study the Gospels, you'll see this pattern is repeated time and time again. Jesus says something, the Jews don't understand it, so they fight amongst themselves. Now, what's interesting is that the quarrels always center around the work of Jesus on the cross and his salvation. The Jews that Jesus is speaking to cannot comprehend the whole idea that the Messiah would be crucified and the Messiah is the Savior. That's been the stumbling block of the Jews for the millennia since the passage of Scripture has been written. For the last 2,000 years, the Jews have still struggled with this concept, and that's why Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 1:21, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. It was a stumbling block when Christ preached it to them. They didn't understand the hard sayings. It was a stumbling block when the apostles preached it to them. And it's a stumbling block to all those who identify as Jews to this day. And it will remain as a stumbling block to them unless God's grace opens their blinded eyes and gives them an understanding of the truth. So the Jews are confronted with this hard saying of Christ and they are perplexed by it. You see, what they should have done is said, is looked at Lord, they should have said, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying, but Lord, I believe it. That would have been a correct response. Lord, I don't understand fully what you mean by eating of you, but I'm going to take it by faith, and I'm going to trust in you. But the Jews don't do that. They quarrel, they fight, they don't believe. Well, how does Jesus respond? Well, as we see in the coming verses, Jesus responds to their lack of understanding not by dumbing down his message. Rather, Christ responds by ramping up his message even further. He says more hard things. You see, up until now, Jesus has only said to the crowds, you need to eat of me. But he'll go on to say, now you must also drink my blood. He ups the ante. He doesn't water down his message. He doesn't water down the high cost of following him. He doesn't say to the Jews, oh, you didn't understand, I'm sorry, forget all that I've just said. Let me just boil it down to a couple of simple points. Let's bring it down to a mere Christianity basic level, and here's a couple of truths that you just have to hang on to, and we're good to go. No, Christ doesn't do that. Christ doesn't water down the message. Christ doesn't dumb down what he is saying. No, he raises the bar in his call for the Jews to follow him. He calls on this crowd who is now quarreling amongst themselves, saying, what does he mean to eat him? And he says, listen to me. If you want to follow me, then you need to completely surrender to me. You need to eat. You need to drink. You need to come to me on my terms and with the truth that I have proclaimed to you. He doesn't tone it down. He says to the Jews, eat and drink. Notice the call of Christ, eat and drink. That's his call to them. And it's shocking, and I can understand the shockingness of this for the Jews, and I understand that the reason they don't comprehend Christ here is because we have to remember that these Jews are not converted. These Jews don't know God. You see, over in verse 64, Jesus says that he knew from the beginning those who did not believe and who would betray him. See, these Jews don't understand because they are not given to the Son by the Father. Remember what Jesus said earlier on in John chapter 6? Only those whom the Father draws to the Son will come. Only those who are given by the Father to the Son will believe. These Jews don't understand the hard sayings of Jesus because they are not given to him by the Father. They're not elect. They're not predestined unto salvation. They are not regenerate. And the thing about unregenerate people, those who are not predestined unto salvation, the thing about them is this: they will never understand the scripture. They won't understand it at all. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, the crowd quarrels amongst themselves, they fight amongst themselves, and they don't understand because the crowd is made up of unbelievers. They are made up of people whom we have already seen who have actively rejected Christ. So when Jesus says to them, "I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you," they don't understand. They've heard what Christ has said. They've heard what he has said, but they don't understand what he means. They miss the truth because they are spiritually blinded. They are dead in sin. Now the Jews heard what Christ said and they interpret it literally. They think Jesus is speaking of a spiritual reality. Sorry, a physical reality. They would have been thinking that Jesus is dealing with some form of cannibalism here. They would have been shocked that here is Christ saying to them, "Eat and drink." They would have been thinking, "What is this man on about?" They would have seen a physical claim. Now, as we know previously, these Jews knew their scripture. They knew the Old Testament. So they would have been familiar with God's law found in Leviticus 17, Deuteronomy 12, and Deuteronomy 15, all of which forbid the drinking of blood. So when they heard Christ say, "Eat and drink," they would have said, "Hang on a second. He wants me to drink his blood? That's forbidden." But Jesus isn't speaking of people physically eating him or physically drinking his blood. If Christ was calling on them to physically eat him and to physically drink his blood, then Christ would have been breaking the law of God. He would have been a sinner. But Christ is the sinless Savior. Christ is perfect. Christ is holy. He never sinned once. And the reason Jesus is not sinning in this passage is because he's speaking about a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality. But the Jews miss it because they don't know God. The Jews hear the saying of Christ and they say, "He's talking physically." And the reason they think that is because they're not followers of the truth. They don't know the Messiah. They don't know God. But this error of the Jews and interpreting it physically is actually still around today. This error of the Jews is still very common today. In fact, there are people in Newquay who would interpret this passage that Jesus speaks here and they would say he's talking physically. There are people in Newquay that would say, no, the Jews got it right. You know, we have to eat physical body and drink physical blood. In fact, one of the largest religious groups in the world engages in this error. They hear the hard sayings of Christ, and because they too don't know God, and because they don't believe in the Christ of the Scripture, they too interpret the words of Jesus physically. They miss the spiritual reality because they too are blinded by their own sin. Now that religious group that is here in Newquay and indeed is around the world is known as the Roman Catholic Church. If you ever visit a Roman Catholic church, you will see them perform the Mass. Now I know when I was at Bible college, we got told that the Mass is just a more elaborate ceremonial form of the Lord's Supper. That's not true. If you read the Catholic documents themselves, they will say that the Mass is a re-sacrificing of Christ. They will say that's Christ being crucified on the altar when the priest pulls him down out of heaven. But they'll go even further. They will say that that bread they hold up physically becomes the actual, literal body of Jesus. And when you eat of it, you are literally eating the flesh of Christ. They will say the cup with the wine, when the priest engages in his hocus pocus, he turns it into real, literal blood of Jesus. And when the priest drinks of it, when they drink of it, they're saying we are literally drinking the blood of Christ. His physical blood. The Mass is a demonic blasphemy. Now this doctrine is known as transubstantiation. There's your word for the night. Transubstantiation, and if you can spell it, see me afterwards. But transubstantiation says that the bread and the blood, the cup literally becomes the body and blood of Christ. They believe that Jesus is speaking about a physical reality. The Roman Catholics, like the Jews in our passage, miss that Jesus is conveying a spiritual truth. And the reason they miss it is because the Roman Catholic Church, just like the Jews, rejected Jesus for who he is. They don't know God. You see, when Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, he is not calling on the crowd then and there to come and bite him. He's not calling on them then and there to come and drink his blood. He is not making a physical call to the crowd in the synagogue in Capernaum. Rather, Jesus is speaking about a spiritual reality. I mean, think about it for a moment. If Christ was talking about a physical reality, you would have to say that Jesus in the synagogue here is bearing his arm, holding it out to the crowd and says, who wants to have a go? You'd have to conclude if he's talking physically, that's what he meant. But that's not what Christ means. Christ is not saying to the crowd, come, bite me, eat me, drink my blood. He's not saying that at all. Rather, he's using an analogy to convey a spiritual truth. But often those who cannot understand the hard sayings of Christ don't see that spiritual truth. A number of years ago, we had an outreach in Sydney when Pope Benedict the 16th came and visited for World Youth Day. Along with the Pope came hundreds of thousands of young Roman Catholics, including priests and nuns and monks and who knows what else. And we went down there and we conducted an outreach. We handed out about 50,000 tracts in the space of 4 days. We had numerous gospel conversations and we got to see a side of Rome that isn't very ecumenical. But one day I was at Manly on the beach and I was chatting to a young priest about the gospel. And that priest was arguing from John chapter 6 that we need to have the physical body and the literal blood of Jesus if we want to be saved. He was defending the papist understanding of the Mass. He said to me, I don't care what you believe about the Bible, if you do not physically eat Jesus, if you do not physically eat his body, as Jesus says, if you do not drink his blood, you will be damned. That's what he told me. So I said to this priest, I said, the crowd here addressed in John chapter 6, were they invited right then and there to come and physically eat Jesus? And the priest paused. And he said, of course not. That would make no sense. And that's when the penny dropped. That Jesus is not talking physically. He's speaking about a spiritual truth. And the spiritual truth that Christ wants us to understand is that if someone wishes to have eternal life, then they need to completely take him. They need to completely take him. They need to take him for who he is, and they must take him and say, without you, I don't have life. Jesus says, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Just like you eat and drink for life, so you must eat and drink of Jesus if you want eternal life. Christ is saying to the crowds, just like you need food to live, so you need me to be alive spiritually. If we are going to have eternal life, if we are going to have the forgiveness of sins, then we must take the whole Christ. We must take him totally. When you come to Jesus, we must come to him for who he is. We must come to him as the one who came down from heaven. We must come to him as the one who is God and the one who died and rose again. If we are going to have eternal life, then we must take Jesus completely by faith, saying, I need you and you alone to save me. I am going to take you just like I take bread. I'm going to take you for life. I'm not going to try anything else. I'm going to take Christ and Christ alone. The Baptist commentator John Gill said, to eat the flesh and to drink the blood of Christ is to believe that Christ has come in the flesh and is truly and really man, that his flesh is given for the life of his people and his blood is shed for their sins. That's the spiritual reality here. But I want you to notice that as Christ calls in the crowds to come to him, to eat and drink of him, Christ is declaring that he alone is the exclusive way of salvation. By Christ saying you must eat and drink of me if you want eternal life, he is making an exclusive claim. He's saying without me there is no hope. Without me there is no life. In other words, religion won't save. Church attendance won't help you. Good works in and of themselves achieve nothing. The only one who can grant life is Jesus Christ. It is all focused upon him. Christ is saying, you need me, you must come to me. I am the center. If you want life, you must take me. He's calling on the Jews to turn from their religion of dead works. He's calling on them to give up their efforts. And he says, come to me. But the Jews don't come. But still the cry of Christ throughout the years is take, eat and drink. He calls to us also. He calls to people today and says, if you want eternal life, you must come to me. You see, Jesus doesn't call us to a church or a denomination. He doesn't call us to waters of baptism or to the Lord's table. He doesn't call us to works or deeds. He doesn't call us to morality or religion. No, he calls us to himself. He doesn't say, well, go to that church and when once you become a member of that church, the pastor or the priest, he will act as a mediator between you and me. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say do enough good deeds, enough good works, enough effort, and those things will build a bridge that will get you to me. No, he doesn't say that. He simply says, come to me. Come, eat and drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Jesus alone. Christ alone. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus himself declared in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Christ alone. Jesus alone. Because Jesus alone died on the cross for sinners. And Christ alone arose for our justification. So Christ calls on the crowd to come to him. To take him completely. But notice something else in our text. Jesus, as he holds himself out as the source of life, says to the crowd, eat and drink. In other words, he is calling for the people to personally respond. He's calling on them to respond to him. He doesn't just present them with an intellectual argument. He calls on them to personally respond. The preaching and the teaching of Christ does not allow us to be indifferent. We cannot sit by passively and go, that's a nice little piece of information. No, Christ calls for us to respond. He calls on you and me. He calls on the crowd to respond to him. He says, you must eat. You must drink. He's speaking to the individual. He doesn't call out a representative of the crowd and say, right, if you eat and you drink, then everyone under you will be saved. He doesn't do that. He speaks to the multitude and says, they personally must eat. They individually must drink. And this tells us that we cannot sit back and trust that we have eternal life because mum and dad came and ate and drank of Christ. We can't sit back and say, well, my grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. I guess I just inherited it. No, we personally must come to Jesus. We can't sit back and say, well, I live in a country that still says it's Christian. Therefore, being born here, I must be a Christian. It doesn't work that way. Christ says, you personally must come to him. You personally must respond to him in repentance and faith. You must eat. You must drink. You must take Jesus as a starving man would take food. A starving man doesn't look at food and say, that's fine, someone else has eaten. No, a starving man sees food and he takes the food and he eats of it. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. He calls on us to come to him and to take him freely. Have you personally come to Christ? Have you personally trusted in him? Christ says, come, eat, drink. But I also want you to finally notice in the text that there's a result of taking Jesus. There's eternal life given to all those who eat and drink. You see, as Jesus calls on the Jews to eat and drink, he makes a promise. And Christ makes the promise several times in this passage. Verse 54, Jesus says, the person who eats and drinks has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Verse 56, Jesus says, if you eat and drink, then you will abide in me and I in him. Verse 57, the one who eats will live forever because of me. Verse 58, he who eats this bread will live forever. Notice the promise that Christ keeps making to the crowd. He is telling them and telling us that if we would come to him, if we would take him for who he is and eat and drink, then we will truly have life. We won't just have life for the here and the now, but we will have spiritual life and we will have eternal life. The person who eats and drinks of Jesus will live with Christ, they will know Christ, and they will spend eternity with Christ. The God who cannot lie makes a promise here to all people, and he says, if you would come, if you would personally come to Christ eating and drinking, if you would take him by faith, then you will have eternal life. He promises it. Now, Christian, that means if you have come to Jesus, if you have eaten and drank of Christ through repentance and faith, then you are now safe for all eternity. Your salvation cannot be lost. You are his forever. Now some people say, oh no, no, I object to that. I don't agree with that. Some people say, no, no, you have to eat bread daily. Therefore you have to take Jesus daily. And if you don't eat of Jesus daily, if you don't constantly ask him to forgive you, then you may be lost. I know some people who would say the sinner's prayer every evening just to make sure they've ticked the box of salvation. I better take Jesus again just in case. But that misses the point that Jesus is making. Jesus says, your fathers in the wilderness, they ate manna. They had to eat daily, but they died. Jesus says, come and eat of me. I am a greater bread. You take me and you will live forever. You see, if you think that I've got to daily say a sinner's prayer, I've got to daily say, Jesus, I need you to rescue me and save me. If you think that, then I hope you never miss a day. You'll have a life full of despair and chaos if you think that if I miss saying the sinner's prayer today, then I'm damned, because you will one day miss it. But thankfully, Jesus doesn't miss us. And he promises to us, if we would take and eat of him, then we would have eternal life. In fact, in the Greek, which is the language of the New Testament, the words used for eat and drink are aorist verbs, which means we are called to eat and drink Christ as a one-time event, and that one-time event is sufficient. That's what the Greek tells us. This one-time eating, this one-time drinking is sufficient for all eternity. We eat and drink of him once for salvation, and once we have tasted Jesus, once we have truly come to him in repentance and faith, we are saved forever. And that is why Jesus in verse 58 really hammers home that he is the greater bread. He is greater than the fathers who had to eat every day in the wilderness. They had to eat constantly, every day, repeatedly. I've got to eat. If I don't eat, I'll die. I've got to keep eating. I've got to keep eating. And if I stop eating, I'm dead. But Jesus says, if you eat of me just once, that is more than enough to keep you going forever. That's more than enough to save you for eternity. You have life everlasting. That is the promise of God's word. So believer, rejoice that your salvation is secure because your Saviour is secure. He is the source of life. And the only way eternal life that you have could be snuffed out is if Jesus was snuffed out. And that's never going to happen. Lay hold of the promise. If you have feasted upon Christ, if you have taken him as your Lord and Saviour, if you have turned from your sins and trusted that it's only by his death, burial and resurrection that you are saved, then you are safe for eternity. You have eternal life. But the question that comes back to us is a question the Jews would have had to wrestle with as well. It's well and good to hear that we can be safe for eternity, but it comes back to the question, have we taken Jesus? We hear the gospel promise, but have we come to Jesus to eat and to drink? There's a gospel hymn called Are You Washed in the Blood. It's not in our hymn book, otherwise we would sing it this evening. But in that hymn there's a line which says, are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And as we finish this evening, I want to ask all those in the chapel and all those listening online, have you trusted in Christ? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you come to Jesus to eat and drink? Have you heard his call and have you personally responded? I know this is a hard saying of Jesus, but we must take the whole Christ with all of his sayings. We cannot pick and choose parts of Jesus that we like. He isn't a buffet. It's all of Jesus or none of Jesus. Have you taken him by faith? Jesus promises that if you come to him, you'll be granted everlasting life. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the call from Christ to us in this chapel and to all those who are listening around the world is this: come and eat. Eat and drink. Take Christ fully, because he is a wonderful Saviour and he will rescue you for all eternity. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you for your word this evening. We praise you that you are the God who speaks and you give us your word, even though at times we do have hard sayings that we need to wrestle with. Lord, tonight may we understand the words of Christ. May we take his word by faith, and may we take Jesus by faith. Lord, may we indeed eat and drink. May we look to the Saviour, and may we know the joys of eternal life. For those who listen who may not be saved, Lord, I pray tonight they would personally respond. But for those of us who are believers, may this evening we have the confidence and assurance of our salvation, knowing that because we have come to Christ and he is faithful, we are safe for all eternity. Oh Lord, be glorified tonight, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.